We will know the very next verse that we're going to read in Revelation 11 is part of the same wording in Handel's Messiah. And before the end of Handel's Messiah, when it was first done, it's commonly known the king would stand up. I do not know whether he knew or had read Revelation recently, but when these words will happen in heaven, the 24 elders will both stand up and then immediately bow down, fall on their faces, worshiping God with gratitude, giving thanks, quote, "You have taken your power and begun to reign." And they will be very happy in heaven when he starts to take the world back. In Revelation 11, it will have the music lyrics, but we will read beyond it, and we will read verses 15 through 18. Revelation 11, 15 through 18. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there will be loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Response. And the 24 elders who sat on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. The time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, to destroy those who destroy the earth." The phrase "King of Kings and Lord of Lords" is also of interest. That will come in Revelation 19, verse 16. They will concern the actual coming of Christ at Armageddon. Here is the announcement. Way back in chapter 11, "The kingdom of the world is of our Lord and of his Christ." It seems that heaven will open up and God will begin taking it back. Jesus is Lord of Texas, the United States, and the world. Satan, it is true, is called the prince of this world, but that's only as allowed by God. And only in God's view of temporary, only so much and only so long as God allows. In the future, God will allow a greater power of evil. And for the first time, there will be a world dictator, the lawless one, the abomination of desolation, Antichrist in John's writing, beast here, coming in the next chapter. He will not be the real world ruler. He will be a fake, a usurper, the substitute. Anti, we think, means against, but it also means substitute. That's the primary meaning in the original. He's a substitute Christ. He will be unfit, uncredentialed. He will be a fraud. So the real king is about ready to take it back. By this time, the church will be gone, raptured, caught up before the 7-year tribulation. In the first 3.5 years, there's not a dictator. Nation will fight nation. Last 3.5 years, there will be a dictator. God's punishments, though, will get worse. We read earlier about the 7 seals of the book, and now the 7 trumpets. In verse 15, gave the last of the 7 trumpets. The fractions so far have been, way back in chapter 6, verse 8, 1/4 of the world's fatalities. That's just basically people fighting other people. And then out of the trumpet seals, 1/3 more. Back in chapter 9, 15 and 18, the 7th trumpet sounds, and what is happening here is they're getting ready, God will be getting ready to put the sickle down on earth and cut up the figurative grapes, and throw them in and trample on them with his wrath. In my opinion, of the time of Revelation, we're already near the end. I do not know the exact time near the end, but I think the bowl judgments will come fast. And the seventh trumpet is sounding that they're on their way, and I think when the bowl judgments will be given, they will be one after another after another. I don't know. Hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, but not too far apart. And the bowls of God's wrath will be dumped out on the world. Here that part actually begins. And what we have here is an opening of heaven, not an opening of, verse 19, the ark of the covenant in heaven, but the opening of heaven so that the ark of the covenant in heaven will be visible. And there will be topical studies in here for a while, but in time-wise, they're getting ready to start pouring these bowls out. One after another, quickly. When heaven is opened up to get ready to pour the bowls of God's wrath out, they respond. The 24 elders give gratitude. Remember the prayer, how long? Well, there's not much longer. And they give their gratitude here. In some sense, it is a sour event that there will be destruction, but the people in heaven will kind of be glad. And then they're giving thanks that it will happen, because at some point the atrocities must stop. Our world is bad enough. The tribulation period will be much, much worse. And so in heaven there's gratitude that God Almighty has begun to reign. And the world there will get very, very mad. Verse 18. We almost picked Psalm 2 for our scripture reading, and in Psalm 2 that the nations rage against the Lord and his anointed, the Messiah, that's the Hebrew word there, and he who sits in heaven laughs at them. And that's kind of what's happening here. They're all mad. Notice they're going to lose, and they know it, and they still worship what's false. They even worship what's destroying them, and they still worship it. Satan destroys Satan. Satanic judgments are destroying people that are his own followers, and they still worship him. And they're still more and more mad that they know it's going to him. And the one in heaven laughs. Yitzhak, we get Isaac from it. Remember, Sarah laughed when she was told that she was going to have a baby, even though she was older. So she laughed, and that same word is, the one who sits in heaven will laugh back. But then the United Nations will enrage, and God will laugh. They will be enraged, as we will read shortly, knowing their time is short. We separated verse 19 because it talks about the ark in heaven. Let's read verse 19. The temple of God which is in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in the temple. And there were flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. So the seventh trumpet, heaven has opened up and is getting ready to dump out these bowls. And here we have the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Moses tent or tabernacle and Solomon's temple were patterned after a worship system in heaven. So we have references to incense going up, which is the prayers of the saints, and that was in Revelation in heaven, but that's the picture down on earth, and we have a picture here of the ark. The ark in Moses' time was meant to picture the ark up in heaven. We can't review the chariot throne of God, that God's throne is somewhat like a chariot. And below are the wheels, below the cherubim were the four wheels, and then a platform with a blazing beam on top, and Ezekiel saw it. Solomon knew about it there before Ezekiel wrote of it. It says in 1 Chronicles 28:18 that he collected gold, quote, for the model of a chariot. So Solomon even made, somehow, Moses' ark look more like a chariot, and it's like the moving of God. So that on earth was lost, probably when the Babylonians destroyed the temple. I don't think they'll ever find it, but the ark in heaven is still there. And what you have here is the picture of heaven is about ready to take it back, and heaven opens up, and here is the presence of God. And before the book ends, the bowls of God's wrath are going to start going fast. Chapter 10, verse 6, from last time, there will be no delay. And chapter 11 said, the third woe is coming quickly. That's 11, verse 14. So it's all opened up, getting ready, but then the Apostle John left to write for us some topics. The topics are going to be a persecuted mother, and then the dragon, and then war in heaven. So let's take that a little bit, verse by verse. Here's the persecuted mother, Revelation 12, 1 and 2. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown with 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. What or whom is this woman? Whom does she picture? The Catholic system will say, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, yeah, she was, Jesus was persecuted. And in verse 5, they will talk about she gave birth to the one who rules the nations. Okay. By the way, in verse 5, the one who rules the nations will be caught up. That's the word for rapture, actually. In Latin, rapture will be caught up. That's what it means. And the church will be caught up before this tribulation period begins. But, of course, the Messiah was caught up in his ascension. Can we identify the persecuted woman, the mother here more? Well, I think so. I wouldn't limit it to Mary. It's going to talk about that she will be protected in a remote place. Well, that's not just Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it talks about Satan will persecute all her children. Well, so that's not just Mother Mary. It's not the half-brothers James and John. They're no longer around. So the best picture here is Mother Israel. Shall we include Mary? Yeah. Wouldn't exclude her. And Satan tried to persecute her and Israel by killing the boys in Bethlehem. So I wouldn't take her out of here. And yet, many, many times in the past, Mother Israel and the mothers of Israel have been persecuted by anti-Semitic genocide. And the dragon is going to go after the rest of her children, which is more than one family, all of the Jewish people. So let's picture her as Mother Israel that will be persecuted in the end time. John's vision here concerns the sun, moon, and stars, and that kind of reminds us of Joseph. Remember, Joseph had a coat of many colors, and his brothers were very jealous, and then he told them of a dream of sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him, and the stars bowing down to him were the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's a very Jewish illustration here. And Mother Israel gave birth to the Savior, but to many children. And next, they will be persecuted again by the dragon. We must read on in verse 3. The other sign appeared in heaven, behold, a red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. The Greek word for dragon is drakon. I don't know whether the Romanians tied it over to Dracula, but it wouldn't surprise me any that it means dragon. That's what the word is here. We do know the identity of the dragon because we'll read real quick in verse 9 that the dragon is the serpent of old. The dragon is Satan. The dragon is the devil. So Revelation gives the identification of the dragon, and it is a sign, it is a picture. It is the picture of Satan. And later, coming in the next chapter, the beast will have the same picture of 7 heads and 10 horns, which could be mysterious, but yet Daniel 7 refers to a future beast with 10 horns, and the 10 horns are 10 supporting kings, or 10 kingdoms. And the heads seem to be having mouths that give great blasphemy. That's the way that will be described in Revelation 13. But we'll leave Revelation 13 and the description of the heads and horns for next time. Today, let's just say Mother Israel was and will be persecuted. And here is a red dragon who is defined as Satan, fiery, bloody. And we'll read more. That the Satan will attack heaven, verse 4. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a male child, we'd say a boy baby, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was Harpizo, Latin rapture, raptured, caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Well, we'll still read it in a moment. The dragon is Satan. He is viewed as sweeping away one third of the stars of heaven and trying to kill in the past the boy children, but many, many other children who were still in the world. The dragon is persecuting the children of Mother Israel. I think a minority in our circles might think that stars are literal and one third of the meteorites or somehow like this fell, but in the Bible, heavenly hosts is both stars and angels. It's very, very common to think one third of the angels decided to follow Satan. And that was the fraction way back when Satan fell. Lucifer, Isaiah 14, is the star of the morning. He was cut down and maybe took one third of the angels with him. All the time, he's trying to kill Israel in the past to prevent the Messiah from ever being born. That was the real reason why the Egyptians wanted all the boy babies to be thrown in the Nile. Satan's plan was to kill all the Jewish boy babies and won't get a Messiah that way. That was the reason for Haman in the book of Esther. To make a Persian war of genocide, to kill all of the Jewish people. That way a Messiah would not be born. That was the reason for Herod to kill the Bethlehem babies. By this, Satan could not have prevented the birth, but he could prevent the ministry of the Messiah. All of these anti-Semitic, genocidal actions might be human, but they were inspired by Satan. Well, at this point, it's too late to prevent the Messiah from coming, but he's the murderer. He's the father of lies. And so after his time, one of the same genocides are the same. No problem that Hitler was satanic. I have no problem saying the Iranians that want to destroy all the Jews are satanic. No problem with that whatsoever. Of course, it's too late to prevent the Messiah from coming, but they still can show hatred and death and be the figurative red dragon, evil. Now, the dragon here wants to persecute the mother Israel's children on earth in the tribulation. In the next section, the red dragon is clearly defined as Satan. And again, it's insane. It doesn't have to make any sense, but he will go ahead and attack heaven, and it's not going to work. So let's read that, verses 7 through 9. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. Now he's defined. The serpent of old was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This can be called part of a world history, cosmic war, good and evil, truth and lies, life and death, God and Satan. I mean, Satan's crazy, but he'll attack heaven. Won't do any good. You already knew this. Have you come to persecute us before your time? It's time, by the time you get to Revelation 12. Only two angels were given names in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel. Gabriel is gives messages in the Christmas story and gives good news and is named, but kind of God's messenger. And Michael is more like a fighter. In Jude 9, he's called the archangel. So technically, Michael is the only one called archangel. Gabriel might be, but he's the only one called archangel. And it seems, and I believe this, that every nation in the world did and still does have angels and demons. Fortunately, we don't know them in the cosmic battle, but in the book of Daniel, we have the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece, and these were evil. So we might say that Satan has fallen angel leaders, and God has good angel leaders, and Michael the archangel is clearly Israel's protector. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 teaches this, that Michael, who is the prince of the people, will defend Israel. So here in Revelation, you have a persecution of Israel, and Satan will be crazy enough to attack above, and Michael will stand up for Israel, and Michael will win this one, and the devil is cast out. In a sense, Satan has already been cast down, so teaches Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, in the sense that he was the anointed cherub who was in heaven in the presence of God, and he has been cast out of his position. There does seem to be some communication throughout the Old Testament where Satan wants to know, will God give him permission to harm Job? So there does seem to be some communication. I'll give you a couple more in a minute where there's communication. So here we believe that, long ago Satan fell from his position, but here he is thrown out in the sense of God will say, I won't listen to your accusations any longer. And I actually believe that he'll be confined to the earth for the rest of his days. So he lost his position in heaven long ago. There was communication. This will end God will not listen to his lies and accusations anymore. And I think that the being cut down means not only no more in heaven, but maybe no more in the solar system. You're done. You're getting down here where all the destruction is beginning. We continue in verses 10 through 12, and it will tell us about this serpent of old, the devil and Satan. By the way, you wouldn't know for certain that the serpent was the devil until you get to the last book of the Bible. It's right here. That's how we know. It's common to us, but it's finally taught here in Revelation 12, verse 9. We continue with verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Satan means resister. And devil means gossip or slanderer. Satan has been and will be, until this point in the tribulation, the accuser of the brethren. It seems that Satan accuses us in the church age endlessly. And while this verse is talking about a future tribulation time, Satan is accusing us right now. Satan accused Job, and Jesus said to Simon Peter that Satan is going to sift you like wheat. Now, I've combined wheat, but never sifted it. But I imagine it's got rocks and dust and gravel. And, you know, the ancients had to do it the old way. And what that line means is Satan wants to show everybody your dirt. And Satan is accusing you, Satan, but I have prayed for you. 1 John 2:1 says this, that when we sin, quote, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Some pictures are of a courtroom, and Jesus is our defense attorney. Some pictures are of the temple and a worship system. And Jesus is like the high priest who goes into the presence of God to plead for us. So some of the temple, sometimes a courtroom, but both Jesus is our defender and intercessor. We can just make an illustration, but picture God the judge, picture Satan the accusing attorney, and Jesus is the defense attorney. And they don't deserve this. They deserve to go to hell forever, and Jesus stands up. I paid for that. I paid for that. I paid for that. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. So we can take assurance that when we've trusted Jesus as Savior, that Jesus is like our defense attorney. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No judicial punishment. Now, we might make Abba Father upset and get a spanking. That's not the same as execution. That will not happen. Jesus defends all believers. Here, God will have had enough of this accusation, and this will be the end. Satan, knowing he has a short time, just gets more mad. Verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, the mother Israel. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for 3.5 years. Time, one, times two, half a time from the presence of the serpent. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of its mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold their testimony of Jesus. Mother Israel has had and will have numerous children. The Messiah ascended. Raptured is the Greek word. He is not yet the king. He'll come back to be the king. We're now in the church age. When that ends, we will ascend. And then there'll be a 7-year tribulation. The last 3.5 will be the dictator time of this beast and Antichrist. You have a lot of references to 42 months, 1260 days, time, 1 times 2, dividing of time, 1/2. Lots of references to 3.5 years. Satan will try to drown Mother Israel, but those in an asylum, a remote place, will be protected, perhaps including 144,000 sealed. They got a mark on their head. That's back in chapter 7. These Jewish believers will be sealed, but others will not be in this asylum, and there will be another Holocaust in the tribulation period, where Satan will try to kill all Messianic Jews. I got all these notes. Zechariah 14. Jerusalem will be surrounded, and part of it taken, and the women ravished. And then the king will come, and his feet will be on the Mount of Olives, and he will put a stop to it. But Zechariah 14, as well as Revelation 19, predicts another end-time Holocaust. We had Ken read the other verse for a reason. In Matthew 25, Jesus says that before he comes back, it will be a great tribulation. And then when he gets back, he will set everybody before him, and he will judge them based upon how they treated his brethren. This is commonly misinterpreted. It's commonly given as a work salvation. If you'll forgive me, I remember Ted Kennedy's funeral speech. The speaker said, well, he gave to the poor and visited the sick and the prisoners, so he did good things, and by his good things, he earned heaven. You think that's what that verse means? That we will be saved by feeding the poor and visiting the sick and the prisoners? That verse in Matthew 25 is concerning a time just before the king comes back. It concerns the tribulation period, where there will be great persecution of Mother Israel. And when Jesus comes back, he will be able to tell who followed the Antichrist and who did not. Who will have followed the Antichrist? And who will have heard the message that the real king is coming? They'll just be able to see by how they treated the persecuted Jewish believers. Did you help the Antichrist kill them? Did you help them throw them in prison? Did you not care when they were sick and dying? Did they go? Did you not starve? Those are the goats. I would say by faith or the lack of it, but in the tribulation period, there'll be so much anti-Semitism in the Holocaust that Jews can come back and say, I can tell who believes in me and who does not. Those who will follow the Antichrist will persecute Jewish believers. Those who follow Christ by faith are saved by their faith, but by their actions, they will not participate in his future killing of Messianic Jews. We have to apply both verses now. We're not in a tribulation. And so technically we don't apply exactly. We don't have to believe everything the government in Israel does. We don't have to agree with it. And if we had a right to vote, I wouldn't care who you vote for next week, as they're having elections in Israel. We better not agree with the Holocaust. In our time, and these people in the future, Jesus will just come back and say, I can tell you're a believer, you did not side with the Antichrist. You did not go along with what he was doing to the Messianic Jews. Or, I can tell you don't really believe in me. And you say, Lord, Lord, and you participate with Antichrist in his genocide of Jewish believers, and you can say, Lord, Lord, but I can tell what you believe by the way you have treated the least of my brethren. That's what that verse really means. I'll stop now, but it's commonly used without any explanation, and commonly the listeners are left to believe you're saved by your good deeds. We're not saved by our good deeds. That verse does not mean that. It's an end time verse, and the brethren in it will be persecuted Jews. Let's pray together, please.